Downloading. 98%. 99%. Download complete. The episode will begin in
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk, the technology show for blind and partially sighted people. Your hosts this week are Stephen Scott.
Hey!
Sean Preece.
Hey!
And Tim Schwartz.
Hey!
Oh, welcome along once again. That was a really energetic start. Thank you, guys. Yes, welcome to Tech Talk. Can you tell it's January? Yeah. Well, it is Stephen Scott here. Hello, how are you? Tim Schwartz, as always, my trusty friend and compadre. Well, I say that because that's what it says here on the page. Hi, Tim.
Yeah, contractually, I guess you have to call me your trusty friend, compadre. Contractually, also, I believe you do have to say Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com, but that's okay. But yes, I'm doing well. How are you, Stephen Scott?
I'm fine. How is lifeafterblindness.com? It's really an interesting website, because when I go to lifeafterblindness.com, I tend to find lots of interesting stories on lifeafterblindness.com. It's a good website, Tim.
Yeah, there are some good blogs there, some stories. I share a lot of stories in my social media outlets as well.
Right, that's enough. Sean, how are you doing? You all right?
Oh, I'm bored now. No, I'm doing very well, thank you. How are you two?
Well, I can only speak for myself, but I'm all right.
You're always all right. Good.
Doing well. I woke up this morning. I'm doing well.
At our age.
We're alive. What else can you want? So we've got lots to talk about. Of course, CES is done and dusted for another year. And I've got to say, I am quite excited by what I've heard about this time around. I think there's lots of interesting tech. I want to get into that. We also want to talk a little bit about a new announcement from IKEA. IKEA are doing lots of work at the minute in the smart market. Of course, we know they do bulbs. We know they now do smart plugs as well. But the latest invention for blind people, blinds! Yes, blinds for blind people.
Yay!
And other people. I mean, other people can buy these blinds. They are available to everyone.
Yeah, not specifically for blind.
That would be interesting. I don't quite know what they would look like necessarily, and I don't know if we'd care. But certainly, that is the case. So yeah, we're going to talk about that and lots more besides, because we've got lots to talk about this hour. That's coming up on this week's Tech Talk. So yeah, let's get into the topic that is the big topic we want to discuss this week, and that is CES 2019. For those who tuned in last week, we did get a chance to talk a little bit about it with Sean. Tim, you weren't here last week. You were actually, I just want to make this clear to the audience, you were in bed, but for good reason.
Yes.
For science.
For science.
Yeah, for science. Not just for sleep, not just for rest. For science, to get a sleep study so I can be fitted for a CPAP. Because apparently, I stopped breathing about 100 times an hour. So I needed something to help me out. So yes, it was for good reason, for my health, so I don't die in my sleep. Yes.
That is a good reason to get checked out, I think, yeah.
Yes, I think
no
so.
No aliens on a ship and probing involved? It was all...
No, heavens
that's
no.
That's fine,
no.
Good. No, just
not
to
that, well, not that I'm aware of. I mean,
How would you know?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, how would I know?
I mean, because...
I could have a sore bum, I guess.
Wow. Ugh. Well, I mean, other areas, I guess, are available.
Whatever they're probing, yeah. I don't know.
Let's move swiftly on.
Yes, please.
Hashtag family show.
Yes.
Yeah. So from that bombshell, let's move on to CES. I will say, Tim, I'm glad you're back, and I'm glad everything's intact. So yes, let's talk about
yes, me
CES
too.
2019.
Please, let's talk about CES.
Please, yeah. Although, does that mean I can start talking about the smart toilet? Can I just dive right in? Is that okay?
No.
Yeah, honestly.
Straight to the toilet.
Straight to the toilet humor here. Because do you know what? The toilet, a smart toilet has come out. I have to tell you about this. It's incredible. It's from a company called Numi, N-U-M-I. And what they've done is they've developed the smart intelligent toilet. I have absolutely no idea, nor does anybody else actually who was at CES seems to know what this thing is for. Other than the fact it's got speakers built in, and wow, it's also got Lady A and Google Home. I'm not kidding you. It's in a toilet. I mean, really, that's where we are in 2019.
What possible use can it be? Now, let's be, we are taking this, I think, a little bit out of context, Stephen. You know, I don't want to throw you under the bus, but wasn't this part of the smart bathroom exhibit? In which case it showed the voice-controlled shower. There was faucets that were, that's for our American friends, faucets that were voice-controlled.
Listen to Oprah over here.
And of course, there was a smart mirror as well, which could pretty you up a little bit virtually, of course. So, look, it all sounds a little bit ridiculous, but there's some use cases there. The cost of that smart toilet was around $7,000 US, I think. So,
hang on, $7,000, but $9,000 if you wanted it in black. Just saying.
Ah, well, of course. Well, who wouldn't?
If you want, because you got the regular white, but if you want a black toilet instead, then, you know, you got to pay a bit more. So $2,000 more for a smart toilet. Tim, tell me this is something you'll never buy.
It is something I will never buy. That's a very easy statement. Although, if you tell me that it's got a seat warmer, I might consider it.
But
for $7,000, really? No. Can I say no enough? No.
Wait. Look, let's look at the accessibility and assistive nature of it. Perhaps you could tell it to flush. That could be a problem if you've got a problem with your...
Lady A, flush the toilet.
Yes, well, I mean, no, joking aside, if you had some sort of physical problem, that may be of use. Okay, I'm clutching at straws.
Yeah, okay. All right, I'll give you that.
But that's actually not a horrible
thank you.
Point.
No, thank you.
I'll give you that one. I'll let you have that, yes. I think, though, in fairness... I'd like to think, I don't know, and I'm sure one of our lovely audience will tell us, but I'd like to think that somebody who has mobility issues to the extent they're perhaps physically impaired and can't use a toilet in the normal way that other people might, that there may be another alternative than spending $7,000 on a toilet you talk
yes.
to.
I have a feeling a push button or a sensor for the auto flush is probably a little cheaper than this, but you know, if you want to rock out to some music while you're in the bathroom,
this is not built for mobility impaired people or visually impaired. This is not for anybody. This is for people who've got too much money, who are, you know, able to spend this kind of money. And really, it's just a show-off gimmick, isn't it? I mean, you're going to put this in your main... This isn't going to be in the ensuite, right? This is going to be in the main bathroom where everybody can see it. Because you know,
come on, look at my toilet. It's so cool. You know what? Joking aside, I would buy one of these. If I had that money, and I'm such a geek, I would definitely buy one of these.
Well, who wouldn't want to sit on the toilet with a smart speaker behind you and listen to Tech Talk?
Of course, the perfect place to listen.
What a beautiful combination.
The perfect place.
I'm just thinking, I don't want to think about that, if I'm honest. Listen, I used to do late night radio, and I knew what people got up to there, so I don't want to know about that side of it. But what I will say is, I think this is... an example of where technology has maybe gone a little bit off the deep end. If we bring it back a little bit, though, from the edge, and we look at some of the tech that's come out, I mean, we could sit and talk this hour about every single piece of tech that CES came out with, and there was a lot of tech. I think there are elements of this, though, and the reason I started with the smart toilet is, yes, okay, it's a bit of fun and all the rest, but you mentioned the smart shower.
Yes.
And I think this is where... the Lady A integration, which seems to be happening in every single thing you can think of, actually could be beneficial to us. I would go so far to say that anything, even the toilet, although who's going to spend $7,000 on a toilet? But okay, aside that, if you look at it, actually all of this technology with the Lady A or the Google Home integration really will make a difference to us. So anything really that was announced with that in it is good for us, I think. That is... the bottom line.
Well, from an accessibility point of view, of course. I do slightly worry that maybe the focus is turning so much towards voice control. You know, then we've got people with speech impediments that may have difficulties. So it's important that we don't get carried away and just focus on this only. I'm not suggesting that's where we're going, but, you know.
Well, just for a second, let's address that, because Amazon have actually done some work on this. And for those who have got speech impairments, there are ways that you can talk using, if for example, say you're in a position where you use synthesized audio for your speech, then it will work with you on that because it will actually understand that. So they are working on ways to make sure this is as inclusive to everyone, even those with speech problems.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's something that resolves that.
And of course, the Amazon show does have icons on the screen, so you can trigger some routines and commands using just like a tablet, really. So yeah, that is important. But I think the important thing here is that everything, I mean, we're laughing about the toilet, but every household item you can think of is getting connected and smart. The interface on top of that, whatever it may be, of course is important for us. The voice interface is fantastic, but the actual point that all these things are connected gives us far more control. Even things we couldn't think of yet. We can't think of a use of a smart toilet, and probably never will be. But the fact that it is connected and everything in our house is moving towards being connected to connected to each other and connected to us. The use case could be fantastic. And as I said, there may be use cases that we don't even think of yet.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think that the more we see, you know, this smart home technology implemented into everything. I mean, when we said in the past, oh, we can't wait to have smart home technology in everything. Well, I didn't quite mean a toilet, you know, but that being said, I'm happy to see things like this happen because, yeah, like you guys both said, accessibility by accident is what I've been saying for months now. You know, that's kind of the phrase is that's what Lady A and Google Home is for us. And anything with it implemented is going to be obviously accessible to us right out of the box. And that can only be a good thing. Are we going to use it in some cases? Maybe not. But I'm happy to see it.
I mean, there was a friend of mine who said to me, and this is a sighted friend of mine, who said about a story. Now, I don't have children, but he said, you know, this would be a great gadget for you if you had kids. And he was talking about a smart diaper that had been brought out. Now, the purpose of this diaper was to let you know, yes, we're back to this again, to let you know when your child had, been busy. And he said, this would be great for you because then you would know, you know, and you and your blind friend, you'd all know.
You know.
I'm thinking, yeah, don't you already know? Isn't there a sign that nature gave us that perhaps will tell us that our baby has done its business? Oh, yes, it's called the smell.
So unless your disability has something to do with your olfactory, you know, system, yeah, no, you know.
This is the problem.
I love technology, but I would hate to see the old pastime of passing the child between the two of you going, have they done something? I think they've done something. I love that.
You love that? Oh, well.
Yeah.
I don't miss it.
In that one.
That was about 6 years ago. I don't miss it.
But I mean, you know, this is that. I guess this is where technology can be useful, but
sure,
it can also become a little bit patronizing in some ways. I mean, how can technology itself be patronizing? But in the invention of this, you think, who would really use this? I think that it actually, you sometimes have to look beyond the technology that we're looking at. So I had a look at the smart diaper and I kind of laugh. And at first I thought, good idea. But then I thought, that's a really bad idea because actually, who needs this? But then I kind of think, well, there's the other side of the coin. I think a lot about my health recently. And I think about things like, what if I, you know, I'm sorry, I know this is a daytime show and we're going out in daytime, but I have to be honest about this. What if blood appears somewhere, right? And I'm not aware of it because I can't see it. Mm-hmm. You know, the doctor will sometimes say to you, was there any blood? Was there any, you know?
Yes. No idea.
You know,
yes.
Whatever. Right?
Back
and
to
you
the
think,
toilet.
Yeah. And you think, well, I don't know because I can't tell. And that kind of thing does worry me a little bit. Now, if this technology was able to detect that, that is good. That actually could be good for a lot of people and their general health. And I think about a lot of blind people who don't have a clue about things like that. And these are, of course, are markers sometimes for very serious health problems that you need to get checked out. But if you can't see the symptom, if you like, then how do you know it's there? That puts you at risk. So I think the technology at its its level, where we look at it and we say, oh, look, it's a smart diaper, and oh, that's really funny, actually, it could have benefits, health benefits down the line. And this seems to be where this tech is headed. I think it's in a good direction.
I think that if that's used in the appropriate way, you may have stumbled upon the proper use for a smart toilet, going back to that, because it could say, you know, there's blood detected. It could say you are dehydrated. You know, there are things that it could detect to tell you health-wise that there is an issue and that you may want to call your doctor. So to that point, that actually could be very useful. I know there are also smart, speakers for a child's nursery where, you know, you have the two-way speaker to listen for your child. They actually have it now where they can detect if your child has stopped breathing. And that's obviously a big concern amongst parents with an infant. So that's,
I mean, how important is that? That is so vital.
Right. So to have that type of technology to detect, you know, something, you know, like we talked about with, you know, blood or what have you, or even a diaper, but detecting the breathing and things like that, yes, that can be extremely important.
I don't mean to be, you know, crude about it. I mean, I'm genuinely serious. I think this
because I think
this is a real concern for a lot of people. I think there's a lot of blind people who don't discuss this, maybe think about it. I know quietly off mic, people say these things to me, but they don't want to talk about it on air.
Yeah.
I don't mind. And I'm sorry if it makes people feel uncomfortable, but that's just the reality of it. This is the life we live, and we do have these concerns.
I think you're right. I think maybe we do have to take these, what outwardly look like silly steps in technology, you know, like the toilet, like the diaper, to move on. It's all about taking those first steps. Maybe the technology isn't where it is yet. But as I said, it's all about those use cases that we just haven't thought of yet.
Well, I've just realised we're, you know, considerably well into the programme here, and we've only really talked about toilets, so I apologise. let's move away from that, and let's talk about some of the other tech. So TVs were really the big mark. I mean, we talked about it last week. Samsung and Apple have made nice, and they've come together now, and they've made this beautiful app together, and it's going to be living on Samsung TVs, allowing iTunes to then appear on Samsung TVs. AirPlay 2 will be embedded into not just Samsung TVs, but also Sony TVs as well, I was reading. So Apple are kind of breaking down the walls of the walled garden they once had and trying to kind of get their product out there. Tim, we didn't get your perspective on this last week because you were sleeping. What's your take on this? Do you think this is a good thing that Apple are doing this, or should they stick to their own products?
I believe that this is a good thing for Apple. I've always thought that it would be nice if they would branch out and, you know, kind of get out of their own box, as it were. And it's nice to see them doing things like this with Samsung. Even recently, as we know, they've implemented Apple Music with your Amazon Echo, and they're taking these steps to get their products out there. Now, I have a feeling this is a bigger ulterior motive because, as we all know, they are talking about having their streaming service come out this year. And so why not get Apple Music and iTunes and any of their software services out there now, so that when that streaming service comes out, they might be able to convert all of that and have the streaming service available already everywhere, you know, especially in TVs like that. So I think that there's a bigger picture here for Apple, and I think it's a good thing.
Am I the only one that's not excited by Apple's TV streaming service? I don't know if they can do this justice. Sorry, I'm going off topic a little bit. But it's about time that Apple pulled down those walls of that walled garden. I don't think it's going far enough. Of course, it's a good thing that they're actually making partnerships now, but I'd like to see them go a lot further with things like iMessage and I can't think of another one, but iMessage is a good example. You know, open that up to Windows, Android, that would be fantastic. But of course, there's no money there. Opening up the movie TV side of it, they're opening up another revenue stream to different customers with rentals and movie purchases. So I can totally understand it makes good business sense, but I just wish, I think we shouldn't get carried away that this is Apple finally opening up to other partnerships, because I don't see that happening.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the position that Apple are in at the moment, it seems, is that they really need to start focusing on something, because the iPhone world seems to be slowing down. You know, their sales are slowing down.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a concern that really is for that company, but I know that iPhones make up the majority of their sales, and when they slow down, that's not great. So they either have to come up with an amazing new product this year or new services. And it sounds to me as if Apple are going to go down the route of rinsing people as much as they can for more cash. For services, you know, like iCloud Drive and, Apple Music, and of course this new service as well. I'm with you. I'm not as excited about it as perhaps I would have been maybe a couple of years back. I think it's taken so long. We've got so used to Netflix.
Exactly.
Amazon Prime. You know, we're in this world now. And Apple never really first out the door with this stuff. I mean, the argument will be, though, if they come along with programming. I mean, $1 billion spent so far, apparently, on all these shows and, you know, all these big names that are behind it. Reese Witherspoon, Oprah Winfrey behind it. You know, lots of great programs, I'm sure. If they are all, for our benefit, audio described and, you know, beautifully done that stuff, then, you know, that's going to make it an interesting and appealing option. If it's not, then, well, I think that might be rather upsetting.
Have you seen American TV? It's terrible.
Wow, there's a...
Wow, what do you say
straight
to that?
Right, he's obviously never watched HBO. Okay, so, getting back to CES, because, as I say, lots of gadgets on show. TVs, we saw loads. I mean, this LG 65-inch rollable television...
Oh, that was amazing.
I'm not going to spend any more time talking about this, but basically it was just, it was just another, this goes with your smart toilet, you know,
No, not at all. Basically, it's a sound bar, but you press a button and a massive TV unfolds and, it was beautiful.
Oh, so what?
Because it makes total sense. Who wants a TV nailed to their living room wall or taking up a huge corner? Stick this on a shelf and you've got the options that you either have.
Stick this on a shelf?
Yes.
It probably weighs a ton.
Well, it probably does, but still, look, it's all about, it's aesthetically pleasing. I think this is a really good idea.
That being said, LG puts that out, and then at the same time in the same showroom floor, they have an 88-inch 8K TV, so go figure.
Yes. Okay.
I know. The only good thing about all of this is that the bigger the TVs get, the cheaper they get. That's good news for all of us. Yeah. So, you know, that's the only thing I'm pleased about. It makes it easier to convince Mrs. Scott that I need an 88-inch television. So, speaking of Samsung, because, of course, we talked about them and their integration of Apple's product, iTunes. One of the things I was mentioning earlier was about any product, really, that showed off at CES that had Lady A or Google Home built in was a really good thing. Well, Samsung have their own, of course. They've got Bixby, and they're making sure to use that going forward. That'll be interesting to see how that it helps us, if any way at all. Although, you know, from my experience, trying out Samsung's TVs is pretty good.
And there's a rumor that Samsung's going to come out with their own smart home speaker this year with Bixby built in. So we'll see. It looks like they are going all in on Bixby.
Well, speaking of audio, I mean, headphones. We had lots of headphones on show. And this time around, they again were talking about Lady A and Google Home integration. Now, very recently, I got an update to my Bose headphones, the wireless ones I've got, and that originally came with Google Assistant, but they now come with the additional option of Lady A. Now, what's interesting about that is, and this is, I don't know if this will be the case for all headphones, but certainly with Bose, what you have to do is you have an app that you connect to the headphones. So you pair up the headphones first, and then you use the Bose Connect app to, you know, connect and manage the headphones. That also lets it update the software if it needs to do that. In there, you can also choose what your smart assistant or who your smart assistant will be. You can sign in through the app that's on your phone. So I think we've got to be clear. It's not having Lady A on your head.
Yes.
You're not wearing Lady A. You know, it's actually all part of your smartphone. So really what you're doing is when you're pressing that button, you're just connecting to the Lady A app on the phone. And it's the same with the Google Assistant. It'll connect to the Google app on your phone. So not that doesn't make a huge difference, really, but it just...
I think it does.
Well, in a sense
of... I think that's a bit disingenuous.
Yes,
it sounds like it's a standalone product, and it's not. You do need to pair it to a phone. You need to have your smartphone on. And it does sound like the voice assistants are actually built into the hardware of the headphones themselves, and it's not.
No, it's not. We're seeing Jabra, Sony, JBL this year announcing headphones with Lady A and Google Home. Basically, it's you summon her, whichever her you choose, from a button on the headphones themselves. And I mean, it's okay. It's pretty good. I mean, you know, you're on the bus and you want to change your playlist. You can do that. You can find out what the time is. I suppose that's the new way to do things. I think, I don't know how practical it is, if I'm honest, because I always feel if you are completely silent on a train next to someone and then suddenly you start speaking, the person next to you assumes you're talking to them, and then suddenly you're trying to, I'm talking to my assistant. Hang on a second. Play my favourite playlist. Not you. I guess a bit irritating. I don't know how good this is.
I feel bad enough already when I say hello to people when they're talking on their phones and not me. And I go, hello. Oh, you're not talking to me. Okay. But yeah, that is a danger. But actually, I think, no, this is really practical. I think it's really useful to have this, being able to next track or whatever. Of course, you've still got remote controls on headphones a lot of the time, or tap the side of the headphone to skip forward. So, but for other Lady A or Google Assistant services, I think it's really handy to have it there. I am slightly, as we see more of these third party, if you like, implementations of voice assistants, you don't have the full service that you do with a dedicated Google Home or Amazon Echo. And I do tend to miss those services, not being able to drop in on certain people on certain devices. I find it a limitation, and I don't think everyone's always aware of that. Yes, like Tim. I think that limitation, people aren't always aware of it, that you can't do everything that you can do on a specialized Amazon or Google Home device, that you can't always do all those features on a third-party one. And I think that is important.
I think it's important, but I don't know if that's a limitation in the hardware, the software, and maybe that's just something that right now, for whatever reason, they can't do. Maybe it's that Amazon and Google don't want it to actually be there because they want to still have a reason for you to buy their actual hardware product. And if you're using, you know, this third party version of it, they don't want it to be the fully formed version, because why would you then buy the actual hardware? So I see reasons for it. I understand it, I guess, but I agree with you. I wish it was there, but you know,
I wish it was more widely, they stated it more. You're not going to get all the features. I think people just assume, oh, it's got Lady A or it's got Google Home, then I can do what I can do in my living room. Well, not necessarily. You don't get all those features.
The classic for me was that I was going to buy a little wireless speaker which had Lady A built in. And the purpose of this was to use in my bathroom. So I could put the little speaker in there. And you know, I could set up my music so I could play the music everywhere, and it would play on this little speaker as well. And
need a smart toilet.
I need my smart toilet, yeah. But the same problem would exist with the smart toilet, which is that because it doesn't have all the features, like the music everywhere feature doesn't work. So you can't use music everywhere. And it was interesting because Sean said to me, I was telling him about this, and I said, you know, what I'll do is I'll pair a Bluetooth speaker, a little Bose SoundLink mini speaker, I'll pair that up to my Amazon Echo, and then that will let me transfer my music from my Echo to this little speaker, and I'll take it into the bathroom with me. That's it, problem solved. And Sean said it won't work, crazy, won't work. And I tried it, and he was right, it didn't work. So that was that. So, you know, I could only listen to that playlist on one device, and then the rest of the house couldn't listen for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason is. It must be. I can only think it's a licensing thing, because that doesn't make any sense, because I'm still using the actual device. I don't know. It makes no sense to me. But basically, that's where we are. So, you know, I think there's a flip side to this, though. And the flip side is that, you know, yes, you lose a lot of the integration, the capability, if you like, of the integration between another device that's got Lady A built in. You lose elements like drop in, like announce, I don't think works on it. You know, I noticed, for example, on the Sonos One speaker that I was on my way to buy, and then I read a review saying it doesn't have drop in. I just jumped off the train and got back on the other side and said, right, I'm going home, because there's no point buying this thing. But the flip side is, I don't think we get all of the features of whatever device it is that we've got control of with Lady A. So you'll see devices coming out that have got some integration, so you can do some things with it, but not everything. And I think that's partly because you have companies who are dipping their toe at the moment into the water with this technology, which is perfectly understandable. But I think also a lot of people still think this is a bit of a gimmick. And this is where we have to tread carefully as blind people, and we have to almost kind of make it clear to these companies. You know, RNIB will do this, and other charities and other organizations who support blind people should do the same. which is to say, you know, don't just see this as some kind of little gimmick that's, oh, look, you know, you can tell your kettle to start at 9 o'clock in the morning. Isn't that fun? But actually, maybe, or say it's a coffee machine, right? This is a classic, because I've seen this the other day. There's a coffee machine which has got Lady A built in, but it can only start and stop. It can't get into the specific programming elements or the specific features of the device that you might want, like I want a latte or I want this. You can't tell it that. Yeah. So it's those kind of parts that haven't quite got in yet, and I think that's because they don't see this, and they wouldn't, why would they, but they don't understand this as a product for us as well as everyone else. I want to refer to Whirlpool, who showed off a smart countertop oven at CES. Now, countertop ovens, I thought, went out with, you know, top-loading video recorders, but...
yes.
There you go, apparently they still exist. So this one has got, you know, the Lady A feature and all the rest inside, but it has something else I thought was rather interesting. It's got a built-in camera and object recognition. So what this means is that you can, or the oven at least, can recognize the food placed inside and set the temperature and cook time on its own.
I read this and I don't believe it. I mean, that would be amazing. How?
Well, I assume it knows what chicken looks like.
Yeah, I hope it knows the difference between chicken and turkey. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, if this truly works the way they claim it does, this would be fantastic. Be able to set it itself and take care of all that. Let you know maybe when it's done, when it's cooked thoroughly. You know, I think that this would be fantastic.
So what you're talking about here, basically, is when we go to these companies, when we talk to these people, we're kind of having to express how lazy people are. Because I think this is the key to accessibility for us as blind people, right? This sounds like a joke, but I'm deadly serious here. I think the key is to say, look, make this product for the laziest people you can find.
Are you saying blind people are lazy, wow. Stephen Scott?
No. I'm saying
wow,
people.
Wow, unbelievable.
I'm saying everybody. Listen to Fox News over there. I'm saying everybody is lazy or should be considered lazy. That's what I'm actually saying. That everybody should be considered lazy. And what that means is that they will develop products so that in the end we all live like, you know, that movie WALL-E, you know, where
yes,
you know, we just sort of sit in little things that hover about and take
I
it
I am
everywhere.
Like that now.
I feel like I'm that way, but I could be better at it. And I think technology could help.
Yes.
So this is the way to make things accessible to us. If the lazy world out there, who can't be bothered with even pressing a button or turning a knob to 180 or whatever it is, this is the kind of tech that will come out of this. And I think this is brilliant, because if this worked, if this Whirlpool oven works, then this would be ingenious for us. This would just, I mean, I just put your dinner in and it just figures it out for you. Brilliant.
That would be amazing. God bless the lazy.
And you know what? If you die of food poisoning, who can you tell? So yeah, in the kitchen, there are lots of gadgets. The Whirlpool countertop oven's one, of course. By the way, it's $799 if you want one.
I actually thought that wasn't bad. And you know me.
It's not horrible.
Yeah, Stephen, I thought that was a decent price.
But it's countertop. It could not just build one, you know, one of those built-in ones. That would be better.
Oh, I'm sure that'll come, yeah.
Anyway, that's not enough. Yeah. There are other ones. Gurnia, I think that's how you say their name, showed off three new smart assistant devices. Now, they showed off a 7-quart digital air fryer. Not entirely sure what that means. I assume, what's that? That's probably American dimensions.
That's American for litres, yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah. So I don't know how many litres that works out at, but anyway.
Which is confusing over here because we use quarts and litres in different contexts. So yeah, we just...
Get
confused.
Tim, yeah.
Do you know what it is, Sean? It's because it's such a big country. They've got that luxury.
That's right.
So
it's definitely a big country.
A seven quart digital air fryer. An 11-in-1 deluxe multi cooker, which sounds amazing. Mm-hmm. And a 10-cup coffee maker and grinder. All of these connect to a company-specific mobile app, so let's just hope that's accessible, because that's the first challenge. And if it is, then great, because you can then connect it to Lady A and all the rest. So you're starting to see the technology that could work for us. I mean, this is why I'm saying anything with Lady A or Google in it tends to maybe work for us. Not perfectly, perhaps, but certainly it's going in the right direction, don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely going in the right direction, because as you were trying to say earlier with the laziness analogy or example. Yeah, because it's going to a voice activated world, that makes it so much nicer for us. So instead of there being these flat panels where, you know, a sighted person can see what button they're supposed to push, but we can't feel it, we can't see it, you know, well, now we can talk to it. You know, that makes it so much nicer. If you've got a knob and you're like, where do I turn it to? And you can put, you know, the bump dots and all that kind of thing on there, but it's just so much easier to be able to just ask Lady A or Google to take care of it. And so, yeah, I think this is definitely a good thing.
I saw a little demo, I think it was from Bosch, although I may be wrong, and going back to everything in the home being smart and connected now, it was able to tell, for example, if you picked up, now the words they used, and I couldn't think for the life of me what it would be, but if you picked up a cleaning device in your home, then it would sense that and automatically start the robot vacuum and things like that. So it could tell what you were doing in the house and sort of preemptively decide what device to start up next, or, you know, try and help you with an activity, which sounds slightly creepy, but, you know, that's, I think that's the next level, that everything can talk to each other and know what you're doing.
Yeah. I've got a wife for that.
This is definitely your last broadcast. I'm so sorry.
I want to just clarify what I just said there.
Too late.
You better.
I mean, who will tell me what to do? I don't mean do the cleaning, because we share that responsibility. Unlike in your house, Priest, when did you last pick up a mop?
Don't throw me under the bus. Moving on.
I tell you, if I could get the best thing we ever got in our house, we got our new house, there was something that came with it that we just adore, and that's our dishwasher. Because without that thing, there would just be endless riots in our house. I mean, before we moved in, we were hopeless when it came to dishes. Not just her, me as well. We both hopeless when it came to dishes.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. Every knife and fork in the house was used. You know, you have to go out for dinner just because you needed some cutlery to eat with. And then you would then end up, you know, in this war of who was responsible for it, because of course the lines had blurred so much. So this thing solved all problems. Basically, what I'm saying is technology is the answer to everything. So, moving on.
I think we can end the show there.
Saves your marriage. Let's talk about some of the dedicated accessibility stuff. There was actually a dedicated accessibility area, which I only found out about in the third day.
I know, that wasn't promoted enough at all. No. Even on the SES website that I went to, some of the articles on there were out of date. They seem to be from last year. I mean, you know, this is important, and I wasn't aware of it at all.
Well, you say it's important. It is important. I think
it's important
to
me.
Well, yeah, maybe that's the problem, that it's important to us and not to the mainstream. So, you know, it's like whatever. Because let's be honest.
Yeah, but if you're going to do it, then do it. Do it properly. Why do it half-hearted? Look, if you're going to have a web page up with accessibility articles and who's the, you know, entrance into the innovation award, then let's have the up-to-date information. Okay, sorry.
Right.
Anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Thank you, Tim.
There you go.
You're welcome.
That's it. Honestly, it's like Jack and Ori in here. right, so anyway, what was I saying? Yeah, so the accessibility.
Sorry,
area.
I put you off.
Yeah, you did a bit. Right, so the accessibility. I don't know what you were on about. You put me to sleep. Right, so the accessibility area covered a number of areas and a number of people, senior citizens, deaf people, those with mobility issues, and of course, blind people. And there was three companies, although I don't think the third one were actually on the website, but the two companies on the website was APH, which is the American Printing House for the Blind, and Vispero, yep, which is the company you might know as VFO, known for its screen reading and magnification software, JAWS and ZoomText, as well as other companies now, because it's got about 8,000 companies under its name.
Stop changing your name. I get confused.
I know, it's getting confused. You keep buying companies. So yeah, Vispero, quite a vast company now, but anyway, they were showing off all kinds of different things. We were seeing the latest version of JAWS 2019. They were showing off the new Focus Braille displays, which are well known and well liked as well, and some magnification units as well, not just the software, but the hardware that you can use to read things. So that was all very interesting, but actually, APH, the American Printing House for the Blind, they were showing off some kit as well. Now, Bristol Braille Canute was the one that stood out for a lot of us. Of course, this is something we've talked about in the show before. And if you don't know what it is, it's essentially the first Braille e-reader that's appeared on the market. This is actually out of a company in Wales that put this together. It displays around 9 lines of text at 40 cells per line and gives the capability to read a whole page of text at once, just like if you had a Kindle, basically. Also on show was a giraffe tactile reader, which, not to be confused with the other, because when I heard giraffe, I thought of that little stand that you get for the...
Yes, OCR.
Yeah, that's right. You can put your phone in it. Yeah. But this is not that. This is actually developed in partnership with the Orbit Research Organization, which is interesting because, of course, the Orbit Reader 20, which a lot of us know, and it recently arrived in the UK, they are actually developing this into another product, which is a big area where it uses the same kind of dots to create images. So you get like a 16-bit image on a screen, and they put on it, just for the purposes of the demonstration, you had the CES logo, and the man who was there, who was blind, was told, right, what do you think it is you're looking at here? And he was able to determine that it was a CES logo as a result of the way that the dots and pins move. And they don't just come up and down like normal Braille pins on a Braille display, but they actually would rise and fall dependent on the colour. So if it was a dark, dark colour, they would go all the way in, and then if it was a kind of light grey, the pins would come out halfway, and then if it was white, it would come out full way. So you were getting a clear idea of a pattern of an image. So this does sound quite interesting. Now, Tim, from your point of view, you've got no sight at all. I don't know if this would interest you necessarily, but I think for anyone in education, or I can't think, but you know, anyone in education, I guess, to start with, would find this useful.
I think definitely anyone in education. I think that if you were doing, I don't know what it would be that you were doing, but if you were doing something with your hands in employment where you had to feel certain tactile things, you know, a diagram of something, or you know, have something physically described to you, I think this is a good start. I don't know if this is the end all of this, obviously. I think this is just a very good beginning to be able to figure out what something is tactily, and anything like that, I'm all for. Years ago, I saw something that was kind of a virtual reality environment that had a handle to it, and you moved it around, and it would, almost in a 3D world, help you feel what the object was. So if it was a ball, or if it was, you know, whatever it was, you could actually feel the size and shape and dimensions of it with this device. And something like this brings that even more 3D and tactile. And so I'm very interested to see where this goes going forward, because you're right. This is something that, especially in the education world, and possibly even in a workforce, you could use this every day.
Oh, I just feel like pie charts and bar charts are coming to our world, and I'm not happy about it. But, I mean, I think it does show that those pin mechanisms, the engineering that goes into them, I think, you know, the Orbit and things like the Bristol Canute, the way that these are engineered and the cost of those are going the right way, and these sort of innovations are possible. I think it is very specific, but being able to have that option out there of being able to have graphics tactile, I mean, you know, it gives us another resource, so you can't knock it.
Exactly, and that's the thing. I mean, it just gives us another opportunity. I mean, when I was at school, we used to use a lot of tactile diagrams. I can't remember the name of the machine they used, but it was like a heat machine, and special paper would be put in it, and then the lines of text that someone would draw would just magically become tactile. I can't remember the name of the machine, but I remember that you used to get your diagrams, and I always used to love it when you get them, and they were roasting hot, and they had a lovely smell off them. And I always liked
on a cold Glasgow winter day, huddle around the tactile embosser.
Any day is a cold, dark day here. So that was good. And that was interesting to see. And you're right, Tim. You know, this is a project in development. This is something which the guys at APH in particular want companies to take on and implement so that other products can come from this. I don't think they see this as the end game at all. I think they see this as very much a move towards something. And this is almost the art of the possible, which kind of sums up CES in a lot of ways. That's what CES is the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas every year. It's a look at what's coming. It's a look at what's possible. So, yeah, another example of it. And also, for blind people specifically, one other company which we heard about, which is WeWalk. Now, we talked about this on our show when I was at TechShare Pro last year in November. I actually met up with the guys from WeWalk. This was a smart cane that they had developed. Now, I'll be clear on this. It wasn't a smart cane so much as a smart head of a cane, because you actually fit it on to the top of any old cane. So if you like your cane, you can keep it. And that's quite handy. But you can also buy a cane with it if you really want. But basically, it comes as standalone, and you can fit it onto your cane, and it gives you smart capability. And what I was told at the time, and what seems to be echoed through this, is that it has the capability to integrate with your smartphone. And if you, say, use Google Maps, which is what it works with, and Google Maps, you set a route, you start heading out, you go off on your walk, and you have to turn left at some point, the handle will give you a notification to let you know in vibration form whether to go left or right, or whatever the maps takes you. It also has a very nifty feature in it, which is a sensor that tells you when something is at head height coming towards you. It can detect obstacles in front of you so you can navigate around them rather than actually having to walk into them, which of course is the big thing about white canes and guide dogs. People say, well, the great thing about a guide dog is it takes you around an obstacle versus a cane that you have to walk into first and find your own way around. Well, this actually does a little bit of that for you. It helps you with that. That intrigues me. And the third thing, which is a bit more of a gimmick, I guess, but it could be useful, and the idea is that you don't have to take your phone out of your pocket all the time, is that, say you're playing some music and you're listening on your headphones, you don't have to pull your phone out to hit play, pause, or rewind, or stop, or fast forward, because you can use a little touchpad that's actually on the cane. So that development sounds rather interesting.
Oh, it does. And, it almost feels like it's about time. Just from a tech geek point of view, I love the sound of this, but the fact that you don't have to stop, the amount of times I've had to stop to take my phone out of my pocket, and two hands to swipe through it or whatever, you can just, keep on trucking with this. It sounds sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting my hands on this and giving it a try, because if it works the way they promote it too, and it sounds like it does, I'm really interested in this. I think that this combined with everything else that we have, available to us. I know Aira is just getting into the UK, but, with services like Aira and Be My Eyes, for being able to find things and then add something like this that can detect, those pesky obstacles that we always seem to run into. We find them too late. I'm very happy about this. I really am looking forward to this.
I'm really struggling with parked cars at the minute. I've moved to a new area and everyone parks on the pavement. And it's something I haven't had to deal with. I haven't been using a cane for that long, a few years. And I'm really struggling with not whacking those cars all the time. Some people I know just say, just whack them.
Just whack them, yeah.
They shouldn't be there anyway. But, it is an obstacle. And it sounds like maybe this is something, if you can maybe adjust the obstacle detection, maybe it's something it could help with. I don't know.
You should ask them to implement shrub detection for you, Sean.
it's more, car bumper detection. That's what I need.
Yeah, bumper detection.
Well, I did have a go at this thing when I actually was at TechShare, and what I found was that it was very good at navigating. I just went a little distance, but it seems all the tech I try, I only ever go a little distance. It was a Tesla car. I only went back and forward a few feet. It's like, come on, guys. But, I can sort of understand it, the Tesla, less so with the cane. $85,000 versus £400. But yeah, this was actually quite good because I was able to navigate around. So with someone stand in front of the cane, and I could tell by the fact that it was vibrating. What I liked was it would vibrate more fervently as you got closer. So you could sense, it was almost like those parking sensors you get in cars. The closer you get, the vibration would increase. And you could just swing round and then continue on. And I kind of liked that. I thought that's a really nice feature. And I'd say that's a really important feature, providing that you stick to all your other training that you've had with mobility before. Because the danger of trusting something like that versus a dog is that if you're on a road and it's dark and it's late at night and you're not good with night light or whatnot, and you know, you get bad, poor night vision, which is what I'm trying to say, then you could end up on the road, you know, because it's not going to tell you that. You've got to be aware of your surroundings and aware of your routes and
yeah,
all of that.
Yeah, of course.
So that's still really important. But still, navigating around those parked cars, those wheelie bins, the bags of rubbish when they go out on whatever day, you know, all that stuff that's in our way, A-boards. Someone, I mean, I did laugh. A friend of mine actually tweeted the other week. He said, I actually fell over an A-board today, which said, apparently the A-board said accessible restaurant, which was kind of amusing that he fell over the sign on the way in. I think this is a really interesting piece of tech, and I really look forward to seeing it. I mean, it seems to be still in the kind of Kickstarter phase. It doesn't look like it's officially available yet, but it seems to be something that's coming. And I imagine it will come quite soon. And actually, speaking of Kane, something that is a bit more available, although we can't really find exactly where it is, just on that point. This wasn't the CES, but this was something we all spotted. A new illuminated cane, which I believe R&IB are about to start stocking. But this is an illuminated cane. Now, Sean, you took... I think I saw an image of this, but I couldn't really tell what was going on. I think the light is at the bottom of the cane. So
it seems... The bottom section is illuminated. From the videos I've seen, it very much, I think I would find it incredibly useful with night blindness RP. It's almost like a shining a light, like a torch down. It seemed incredibly bright. It's battery powered, obviously. The runtime was around 3 hours, but it was a very bright light. As I said, I could probably use it to, you know, follow a curb or see these parked cars in my way. But for people seeing you, you know, the illuminated cane in the dark, it sounds like a good thing. So, yeah, I'm interested by this, definitely.
Yeah, the multifunction purpose of this really intrigues me. Back when I had some vision and I was having issues with night vision, I would sometimes carry a flashlight in, you know, with me and flash it down on the ground just in case there was something that I might miss, you know, not see or have to navigate around with the cane. Even if I did find whatever it was, okay, use the flashlight to help me get around it. To have that at the base of the cane, you know, when you do have some vision, that would be so helpful. And then, like you said, the added benefit of, you know, having that light there for other people to see you even better than just the white of the cane, for the safety purposes of it, I think this is a really great idea.
Yeah, I think it depends on your level of vision. No. I mean, look, I think it's a good idea. I think it is very specific, though. I have trouble with lights, so actually, it would probably do me more harm than good. So for me, maybe
that's
not
a good
great.
Point. I didn't think of that.
But that's just me. I mean, there are other people like you, Sean. You'll think this is a great idea. I think my wife would like this. I think this is something that she would use. I just kept thinking, remember those old vacuum cleaners you used to get that had lights at the bottom of them?
Yes.
I always think of them. I just think it's like you're pushing one of those along the street. I also think, you know, I've spent my life trying not to appear visually impaired. And of course, a white cane and sunglasses doesn't help that. Sticking a light at the bottom of it is really
just
not
need a siren,
either.
Some sort of bell on it.
Everybody, look at me! I'm coming
Here comes
through.
The blind guy.
Well, it goes. There's an interesting debate going on at a minute about should you personalize a cane? You know, different colored canes and things like that. The white cane should be a symbol of your disability. You know, because I was saying, do they have other colors? You know, can you change the color of the light? I'm thinking lightsaber. That's basically what I'm thinking. But apparently not. It is just white. But yeah, I would be interested. Like you say, it depends on your vision, your sight condition, I think.
Well, R&IB are supposed to start stocking these soon. They are available online. We could only find it through Facebook, couldn't we?
Yes, that's right. The website they give actually isn't working at the minute. So I did a Facebook search for the group on the website is Gizahand. It's a GIZAHAND.com. That's the website. As I said, when I tried it today, it wasn't working, but they do have a Facebook page. You could look there. And I think they do have a video on YouTube, although it doesn't say anything, which, you know, isn't much good for the visually impaired.
Yeah, I mean, it's a blank website, which may have hidden text we haven't found yet. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, certainly it's £129 for this cane, so it's not cheap by any stretch. Apparently, I did read you can charge your phone with it.
Yes.
That's great. So yeah, there you go. Well, anyway, that's our CES look from this year, and you know, a little bit extra as well. And actually, just one other story before we go, not from CES, as we move away from it, was the story that IKEA are launching smart blinds. This came up because I have my Google search set for blind stories with the word blind in them, and blinds came up. And actually, I thought, that's not a bad... I get some terrible ones, but this one was actually quite interesting. So IKEA continuing to evolve into the world of smart tech. What do we think, guys? We've got a minute or two left, so just a brief comment, if you will, on what you think about IKEA and its foray into smart tech and with blinds now.
I can be very quick. Fantastic. I want one. Tim.
Yeah, it's as simple as that. Yeah, take that. I'm all in. Any smart tech, like we've said, is good tech. So I'm all in about this.
Like I said earlier on, laziness is the key.
No. I just think being able to get up in the morning and have a routine set that when your alarm goes off, all your blinds tilt open, let the light in or whatever. Same for when you go into bed, all the blinds close. I suppose you could argue that's lazy, but I just think it's convenient.
I think it's good for us. Yes. I think it's good for security. I think for blind people who want to make sure that, you know, who live alone or live, you know, a couple who are blind, you know, can still have the blinds open and close. You know, they're aware of it. I think that's where I would say this is really useful. Stop laughing.
How many times have you got out of the shower and got dressed and realised the curtains were wide open?
I can't say legally. So that's it for our show today. And that's the CES roundup. I have to say it was a pretty good event this year. Lots of interesting tech. I didn't get a chance to mention the Roland piano that was out, because Yamaha put in some special features for blind people last year and just one or two of their keyboards. But the Roland piano has got Lady A built in, or at least a version of Lady A. So you can actually control your piano with your voice. And that sounds quite interesting as well. But it depends again.
That's fantastic.
Well, it is, but it depends if it's all the features or whether it's just some of them. So we shall see. But anyway, that's it for Tech Talk today. Thank you so much, Tim and Sean, as always, for being here, guys.
Thank you.
And don't forget the podcast. Keep in touch as well. We'll get back into your emails next week. Sighted guy Chris has been away, so we're going to get him back in next week. We'll start all your emails again, and we'll get all the conversations going. So if you've got something to say, say it. TechTalk@rnib.org.uk. We'll catch you again next time on Tech Talk.